Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Thomas Majors, and I'm joined by David Haynes.
Hey, Thomas, what's up?
Nothing much. We're talking today about fellowship, but not just any kind of fellowship. We're talking about Christian fellowship.
Ah, Christian fellowship. So do you and I know anything about Christian fellowship?
I know just a little bit. We had one a couple of Sundays ago. We all had a potluck meal.
That's a fellowship meal. I've got news for you, buddy. There's a difference.
What? There's a difference between a fellowship meal and actually Christian fellowship?
That is right. So yeah, often in the Baptist church, whenever we think fellowship, we think about food. And of course, Christian fellowship can happen around food, but there is a difference between Christian fellowship and a fellowship meal at a church.
One of the jokes I always used to make with my students in church history at Blue Mountain was the year 1611.
Yes, that's a big year. King James Version.
Yeah, Baptist.
Yeah.
Also were founded that year.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
And I would always joke, I'd say 1611 is a big year. Baptists were founded, King James Version was founded, and potlucks were started that year.
The holy trifecta.
They would always look at me like, are you serious? Like, no, I'm joking.
Oh, that's funny, man.
All right, so I got a question.
Yeah.
So what is fellowship? Mm-hmm. And then how is that compared to like Christian fellowship?
Yeah.
What is fellowship? What is Christian fellowship?
Okay. So I think we can loosely define fellowship as a common interest that you have with someone else. The common interest may be sports. It may be an avenue of sports, golf, football, basketball, baseball. It may be hunting. It may be deer hunting, turkey hunting, whatever type of hunting. It may be any TV shows. Maybe you're a big Wheel of Fortune fan and you have a fellowship with someone else who always watches Wheel of Fortune. And whenever you see that person, you talk about the latest Wheel of Fortune episode. So I think fellowship can be a shared interest with someone, or really a shared interest with anyone, is what fellowship is.
I agree.
And yeah, all right, so you agree. And then Christian fellowship, that's where it gets specific. So it's a shared interest, common purpose, and it's all under the umbrella of Jesus Christ. Is that what you would say Christian fellowship is?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I agree. We can have fellowship with other people who are not believers.
Yes.
And we can have a friend who maybe you work with or whom you've known from past jobs or in your family even who is not a believer, and you can have fellowship.
Yeah, you can have a good time with them.
That's right. You could go hunting. Mm-hmm. You could go to the game and talk about Ole Miss or Mississippi State. But Christian fellowship must be something different.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's between Christians is something that we have in common.
All right. So I like the word shared. I like, you said under the umbrella of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I really like the idea of a shared experience. Mm-hmm. So you said fellowship was shared experience between two people. It doesn't matter if they're believers or non-believers. But what are some shared experiences that believers have? I'll just go ahead and say this, because you said under the umbrella of Jesus. So I think we have a shared lordship, right? The Lord Jesus is the Lord over our lives. And so that binds us together.
Yeah, I completely agree. We share in the lordship of Christ, even though our discipleship may be different. You and I were discipled by other people. Now, right. Eventually we were discipled by some of the same people. We have common disciplers in our lives. But yes, discipleship, evangelism, those kind of things go together, but it is a shared lordship. And then our growth is to be like Jesus. I see Jesus in you. Hopefully one day you'll see Jesus in me.
And it's getting there.
And that is a common bond where we reflect the glory of God in our independent lives, but it is a shared fellowship in that.
Yeah. All right. So let's think about it. Okay. I can have fellowship with somebody from Alabama.
Yeah.
Because we have a shared president.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And so automatically there's this common denominator between us two because we have a shared president.
Yeah.
Even though we may have shared differences when it comes to geography and
state governors are different.
Exactly. Yeah. All of those things. And so for a Christian, they are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So automatically they have a shared Lord, a shared authority, if you will, who is over them and who is commanding their life. But also, I would think we have a shared spirit, like the Holy Spirit, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that you're right about that.
And I think that goes very deeply because, you know, when you think about what Paul wrote in Romans, right? Is it Romans chapter 8 when he talks about the Spirit of God makes moanings and groanings for us that are too deep to understand. His spirit within us cries out, Abba, Father. But there's also, I think, you know, this connection between believers in the spirit as well.
I think so. Another verse comes to my mind is where it talks about where God is not the author of confusion. So if you and I are both being led by the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a continuity between what God is leading you to do and what God is leading me to do, even though that continuity may look different. The First Baptist Church, Senatobia, where I serve as pastor, looks different than Ingomore Baptist Church, where you serve as pastor. However, there is so much that's the same. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit of God in the histories of our churches has led us, the churches, and now the pastors in a similar direction.
You and I are members of two different churches.
That is correct.
First Baptist Senatobia for you, Ingomar Baptist Church for me. And according to the scriptures, we have one spirit. We've been baptized into the church by one spirit, and we're all being built up into the body of Christ. And so many times we think that might mean just locally.
Right, but it's not.
I don't think it. I think it does mean locally.
Sure, but it's not just locally.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking of?
What are you thinking?
The Thundercats.
What is that?
Wait, you've never seen the Thundercats?
No, I don't. Dude, that's from
the 1980s.
I love the Thundercats. Who are they?
The Thundercats, they were these mechanoid cat-looking things, and they would come together and make this real big cat.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like Power a Transformer. Kind of like Transformers.
Okay. Individual pieces, but come together for a larger purpose.
And they have their own little, you know, mechanisms in their own little forms, but then they come together and form a bigger.
And I remember the Power Rangers. Your favorite was the pink Power Ranger, wasn't it?
Don't tell my wife, but yes. She probably knows that. Her favorite Power Ranger was the pink Power Ranger.
I gotcha. Yeah,
Her name was Kimberly.
Wow. You know much more about this than what I thought you did.
That's because my wife tells me very often. But I think that's true. So, I mean, you got the Holy Spirit living within you.
Yeah.
And even if you meet someone from another country, sure, the same Holy Spirit that baptized you into the body of Christ, that's building you up into the body of Christ, is building that person up into the body of Christ. And so we do fit together in the whole scheme of things.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We may not necessarily recognize that. We see it more prominently in the local church. But if there's a Christian in the Philippines, then I'm being built up into that building just like that Christian in the Philippines.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I defended my dissertation 5 years ago, 5 years and like 5 or 6 months ago. It was in March of 2020. One thing that Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary does is that it puts your dissertation into a virtual file where people can download it. You recall when we were working on our dissertations, you had to read so many dissertations and just get the flow of those five chapters. There's no telling how many dissertations between both of us we have read together. Okay. So I get monthly updates about my dissertation and where it is downloaded. And so I received an update yesterday. And so I read through that. And often I receive more downloads in the United States of America, but often it's barely a majority. If I receive 20 downloads in a month, about 12 will be from the United States and 8 will be from other countries, often Africa and places like that. And so what you've just said builds into that. Even though I researched discipleship practices of selected Mississippi Baptist Convention churches and pastors, there are others who can learn from what we as Mississippi Baptists do and what my research proves. So, yeah, so it is going, it has gone worldwide, and anything, even, hey, this podcast could be listened to by people that we'll never meet and by people from other countries, but they share the common Christian fellowship.
All right. Yeah. So we have a shared Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a shared spirit that is building us up. But then there is also a shared purpose, right? That kind of binds us together as well. I can't help but think about the cooperative program.
Oh, yeah.
And the Southern Baptist Convention and how we work together to do that through the cooperative program. That is a shared purpose and goal that builds Christian fellowship, yeah. Right?
And what's kind of the understatement of the CP? It is we can do more together than we could ever do apart. And so that's what we do. I thought of the CP this morning as I concluded reading 1 Corinthians. The last chapter, was it chapter 15, something like that? Paul talks about how they are to set aside funding and that whenever he comes, he's going to get that funding. And then they, the church, is to select people who are to go with him to distribute the funds. And I thought, that's a CP. That's the cooperative program. We as Southern Baptist set aside funds. We usually monthly, so maybe some churches yearly, but they will send dollars into the cooperative program that goes toward missions. It goes toward our shared purpose. I completely agree with you.
Yeah. All right. So we've just tried our best to describe the differences between fellowship and Christian fellowship. Yeah. All right, I'm going to ask you, is there a difference between fellowship and Christian fellowship?
I believe there is a difference between fellowship and Christian fellowship. A non-believer does not have the Holy Spirit of God. They can't fully understand what we have experienced and really what we're talking about when it comes to Christian fellowship.
Here's another question I want to ask. Christian fellowship is still fellowship though, right?
It is. It is. Yes. At the heart of Christian fellowship is fellowship.
That's right. So we're not detracting anything from fellowship, but we're adding a different layer to that.
It's even better. So if you're a listener to this and you are not a Christian, just if you were to become a Christian, it will take fellowship to a whole new level.
That's right. I agree so much. All right. So now let me ask you this. Yeah. How do you cultivate Christian fellowship?
Okay. All right. So Christian fellowship within a church is building relationships. I love building relationships. You and I have a relationship that goes back about two decades. We have a rich fellowship between us. We're not alone. You have friends outside of me, possibly. And then I have friends outside of you, definitely. And we even share a couple of friends. But yeah, so it is spending time together. It is doing stuff together. From a pastor's perspective, it is seeing someone in your church that you have maybe you have a mutual interest. And then you say, hey, we've never gone out to eat. What are y'all doing this weekend? And you go and you spend 2.5 hours at a burger place laughing and having a good time, getting to know each other. So I think that's how it's cultivated. Someone must take the initiative.
I agree. And the reason I think you're great at answering this question is because you do this very well. We went to a pastor's conference this past week, and David said, hey, that guy right there said, you know, I like him, talking about me. Uh-huh. And I said, well, that makes three people now that like me. My friend list is up to three. David Haynes, Bob, and
Zach.
Watch out, world. Here I come.
Oh, that's so funny.
But seriously, I mean, yeah. You cultivate Christian fellowship through what strengths and through those shared experiences, even in that. And so for me, I build friends and fellowship over a longer period of time.
Yeah.
And it takes me a while to build those friendships along the way. But a lot of times when I do meet someone that I can have fellowship with, It's over a shared, verse of maybe a theology. Maybe it's over a shared experience when it comes to life experiences or something like that. One of the things that you and I do usually when we, here lately especially, as we meet for a podcast, we try to invite other pastors to be a part of our lunch. Yeah. And the whole reason is not to try to trip them up or to ask them, you know, really tough questions. It's just to be in Christian fellowship with other pastors.
That's right. To be around them. And I want our listeners to hear this. The person that you have Christian fellowship with does not have to be a carbon copy of you. You can disagree. And Thomas, you and I are at a point in our relationship where even if we agree on a matter, we will often take the opposite side just to argue the point.
Yes.
To further the discussion, to help sharpen iron sharpens iron. And so we will argue the point, even if it's a point that we don't agree with, just to fully converse the topic.
We have done that a few times where if somebody else listened to us, they might take us the wrong way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They might. They might even put a theological label on us of whatever because they're hearing us talk or argue this point that we don't agree with, but we want to have the discussion about that theological viewpoint or whatever it is.
And I think of an easy one that we just did not long ago to just kind of to bring this from the general to the specific. We talked at length a couple of days ago about all the different theories and ideas and questions related to the creation of angels.
That's right. That's right. There's no telling how long we talked about that. Yeah.
And then we would ask the other one question like, well, have you thought about this though?
Right.
And
right.
We just kept talking about that question.
Yeah. So most preachers are good at allowing like allowing a red flag to come up. Hang on. You just said ABC. So if that's true, then XYZ must be right. And you have to say, no, well, that's not right. And you're able to back off. And one good thing with Christian fellowship is you're able to talk without being thrown under the bus. Oh, you, and then apply that. Like, no. Let's just talk. Let's talk this thing out. And the more you discuss, the more you grow.
And so I would say at least with close Christian fellowship.
Yeah.
There is a level of almost vulnerability in that close Christian fellowship.
And a level of trust goes along with it. I trust this person to understand my heart and where I'm coming from in discussing creation of angels, in discussing eschatology, in discussing Reformed theology, whatever it is, whatever the topic is, you can discuss it and be vulnerable and trust that friend.
Christian fellowship is different than fellowship. You cultivate that by building relationships, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You do that very well about asking people in your church to go out to eat.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always do that because I always let them buy. Isn't that nice of me?
It is. They might know that now. So you're going to have to think of some kind of tactic. David.
Yes.
So we've talked about Christian fellowship. Let's just ask the question, is there any time to break fellowship with another Christian?
Sadly, yes.
I agree.
I think that we can break fellowship with other believers. We're talking about people that will be in heaven with us together. We'll be gathered around God's throne. But for the here and now, I think on the occasion, we have to break fellowship with some. The first item that came to mind whenever you asked that question is doctrinal differences or doctrinal divides. Maybe not a doctrinal difference, more of what I would say a doctrinal divide. That brother or sister in the faith is way too far out there for me. Their doctrine on whatever idea is simply too far, and we can't have close Christian fellowship.
I agree. I think Albert Mohler helps us with that, right?
Oh, yeah, the tertiary ideas.
Theological triage. He calls it theological triage, and he breaks it down into primary issues and secondary issues and tertiary issues. Yeah. But I do think there is a hard break, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be a break where this fellowship is divided. And because every time you come together, it's just over this doctrinal issue. It gets heated. It becomes an argument. And it begins to wound your spirit instead of build your spirit up.
Yeah. So and Thomas, is there another reason for a hard break in Christian fellowship?
I think so. I mean, I believe a sinning brother, someone who continues in sin. And if you do like Matthew 18, you go to that brother and speak to them and they continue to sin. And then you bring that before the church and they continue to sin. I believe then it is a time to break fellowship. Think about what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, about that brother who was sinning, to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I think those are some reasons to break fellowship and it be a hard break.
Yeah. So what about a soft break?
What I would describe as a soft break and would be, I just don't like being around that person for long periods of time.
That's right. That's right.
You know, sometimes people just rub you the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
not that we've ever rubbed anybody the wrong way.
Not me.
Never. But some people rub us the wrong way.
I'm the balm of Gilead on people. I'm a soothing spirit to all who I come in contact with. And you are too, David.
Of course. Thank you, sir.
But other people are more like porcupines. Sometimes they just rub me the wrong way. I think in those cases, hey, you can have Christian fellowship, but it's not that kind of Christian fellowship that you want to have on a regular basis. Maybe it's a person who complains a lot.
Yeah, like nobody wants to invite Eeyore and his gloomy cloud to come to your party. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's at times where you can be in fellowship and Christian fellowship with a person like that. But if you're listening to that every day, all day, if the person is arguing every day, all day, and you're trying to be in fellowship with them, eventually that does something to you.
Yeah.
And it kind of begins to suck the joy and rob the joy from your life. Yeah. And it's hard to be grateful for a brother or sister like that.
Yes, absolutely. And it will bring you down.
And we're supposed to give thanks in all things. But it makes it really difficult.
Well, you can thank the Lord that you took a soft break with that brother. Yeah.
Thank the Lord they live in another state. Thank the Lord they live in another country.
Absolutely.
All right. So, David, we've talked about Christian fellowship. Praise the Lord for the brothers and sisters that we have in our life who build us up in the body of Christ, right?
Yeah.
David, one last question before we leave. Do we need Christian fellowship? All right, let's just talk right now, pastor to pastor. Do pastors need Christian fellowship?
Absolutely. We really do. You referenced the pastor's conference that we attended together, and you and I got to ride from Batesville, Mississippi to New Orleans, Louisiana together. And then
5 hours.
Back. 5 hours.
5 hours, 3 minutes, and 28 seconds.
Hang on. It just seemed like 5 minutes to me. But we do. We need Christian fellowship because in my life, that's how I grow. So often it's how I grow. Yes, we grow through the word of the Lord. Yes, we go through preaching, teaching, singing, but we grow through Christian fellowship.
We've talked about this before on a podcast that some of the greatest discipleship means of discipleship in our life now is not necessarily that Paul to Timothy. Mm-hmm. It is the Paul to Barnabas type relationship, right?
Yeah.
And so many times pastors get busy in work. They get territorial. They just get down and they begin to withdraw themselves from their congregation. They begin to withdraw themselves from other pastors, maybe even from their family. And what they need to do is they need to be in fellowship with their congregation, fellowship with their family, fellowship with other pastors. And so I would just encourage you, if you're listening to this podcast now and you yourself, you feel lonely, you need to be in Christian fellowship with another believer. Call that person up. You know who it is. Call that person up. Ask them for lunch. Ask them for coffee. Tell them that it's going to be Dutch, so you don't have to pay all for it, but you go and have a meal with another person in Christian fellowship.
Thomas, I think that's a really good closing word. So thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time.